relationship with God. A time here where we see a huge event that's going to happen that so many times has been talked about as we look at the Word of God. And so how does one literally prove that he loves and trusts God? And the answer is by obeying God's Word, regardless of that sacrificial cost. You're never too old to face these new faith challenges, faith battles, new faith growth. Abraham was well over 100 when this major test of his faith took place. And one who will be greatly blessed by God is one who loves God and has faith in God and proves it by his obedience. And so God tests this believer. And there are three words that show up for the first time in the Bible in this chapter. One, test. Two, love. And three, obey. Now those are big words. Listen to them again. The first time they show up in the Bible is in this chapter. The word test, the word love, and the word obey. And if we combine these three words, we may conclude that God gives a test to determine whether or not Abraham loves God and trusts God to the point of obedience that demands great personal sacrifice. The Hebrew word test has as its basic meaning to try or prove something by some sort of trial. But this particular word also carries with it the idea of testing something not by touch but by smell. And the theological point is that a tested proving is not one that comes by sight or touch, but by faith. So we have the time of the test. Look at verse 1 of chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And so the test came after these things. This little prepositional phrase is critical to the narrative because it informs us that Abraham was not tested until he had blossomed to the point where by faith he could handle the level of test. This test is not given to a rookie or a novice, but to one who is seasoned in faith. And even Calvin said this phrase refers to all the events of Abraham's life that tossed him up and down. This test of Abraham's faith did not come until he had been well groomed, until he had been well tested in the past. And look at the source of the test here. The source of the test is clearly stated to be God. Behind every test, every trial, every trouble that comes to our life is the sovereignty of God. God not only permits negative things to come into our life, but at times he actually ordains them. And there's a clear distinction between what is revealed here and what is revealed in James 1:13, which says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. The difference is that God cannot tempt a person to do evil, lustful things, but he will test a person to prove whether or not he will obey. And look at the specifics of this test. He says, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So the test was given to Abraham. The one who would produce a line through whom God's own son would come was the test of a father to sacrifice his own son. And the person to be sacrificed was Isaac. And you see, Isaac is your son. Isaac is your only son of promise. And Isaac is your love son. The word love means to desire something, to breathe after it. And so Abraham, this request to sacrifice his only love son, goes against his natural feelings, his natural reason. It goes against his lifelong hope. And this request of God sits in this historical background of many godless societies who are known for that specific activity. The Old Testament is clear that this custom of sacrificing a child to some god was practiced by many neighbors of Israel. For example, the Canaanites were known for this practice. The Moabites were known for this practice, as well as several other nations. This practice was eventually clearly forbidden in the law of God. However, in spite of the fact that it had been forbidden by God, there were times in Israel's and Judah's history where they participated in this terrible practice. And as we look carefully to the outcome of this test, what we learn is that God was not interested in the blood of Isaac, but he was interested in the testing of the faith of Abraham. This test in this historical setting proves whether or not Abraham is devoted to the true God as much as the heathens are devoted to their false gods. And so this place of worship, God required that the sacrifice be made at a specific mountain spot in the land of Moriah. The spot was a three-day trip from Beersheba, which means Abraham had 3 days to change his mind about this costly sacrifice and turn around and go home. But he didn't. He traveled all the way to Mount Moriah. This can be, as Dr. Merrill Unger says, none other than the mountaintop on which the Temple of Jerusalem eventually stood. In fact, tradition holds that it's the place right now occupied by the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim mosque that was built in A.D. 691. And this is a place that God had called Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And then look and see how he responds to this test. Look at verse 3. So Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of these young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to this young man, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand and the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. And when they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. And so we see they rose up early. He's a man who immediately obeyed God's word. Kent Hughes says this, at the crack of dawn, he was up and at it. It is significant to see that after 3 days of travel and after leaving the others behind, Abraham in verse 5 believes that both he and Isaac will return to them. We know biblically of at least two thoughts going through Abraham's mind. One, God would provide a lamb. He would not have to sacrifice Isaac. And two, God would raise Isaac from the dead if he did sacrifice him, regardless of how this played out. Abraham was fully convinced that he and Isaac would come back from this worship tour because he knew God promised that Isaac would produce the lineage that he knew he could trust God's word. This kind of faith that Abraham had did not rest on his feelings or on complete explanations, but on the promises of the word. And look at verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. So the angel of the Lord is none other than this pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Just in the nick of time, Jesus Christ stepped into this scene and provided the sacrifice. Abraham named this spot Yahweh Jireh, or Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord provides. I like what Warren Wiersbe, in thinking about the provision of God, asked 5 questions. 1, where does God provide for our needs? At the place of testing, the place of his assignment. 2, when does God provide for our needs? Exactly when we need it, not 1 second before. 3, how does God provide for our needs? Often in quite natural ways, a ram caught in a bush. 4, to whom did God give his special provisions? To those who trust him and obey him. And 5, why does God provide for us? Because he cares about us and loves us. It's one of the most moving pictures in the entire Bible of a father and son acting in harmony to provide the sacrifice of the son. Isaac's sacrifice was stopped because he was a sinner, and his sacrifice would not have accomplished anything. However, the one who would come through the line of Isaac, Jesus Christ, would not have his sacrifice stopped because he is the only sacrifice that can take away sin. There's only one mountain spot in the world where God will accept you. It is at Golgotha. And there is only one way you can get to this spot. It is by faith. There at this spot, the Lamb of God.
sacrificed for you.